Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us. Well, thanks for joining us today. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 21. It's hard to believe we're already at the 21st episode of Season 3. But here I am with Neil Lozano. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm doing good. It's great to be here again with you, Jacqueline. And I'm looking forward to our reflection today.
Yeah, we have a little treat for you. It's always great to listen to Neil's deep thoughts. You know, thoughts from Neil. I am so privileged every time I get to be on the other side of the microphone and headset and hear Neil's deep thoughts. And you are going to be really blessed. We sort of have a little Bible study reflection here during our second Lenten podcast series. Last week, Jen and Lisa did a beautiful reflection. If you haven't already listened to that, you can go back and do it. We have so many scriptures and thoughts to talk about. I'm going to skip the silly question and let's move us right into the meat here.
I always like that.
We'll save this silly question for the next time. You know, Lent, in case you haven't embraced it, is here upon us. We are approaching the second Sunday. And this is really a time of preparation, of getting our hearts free from the things that would keep us from encountering more deeply the reality of the cross, the death and the resurrection of Jesus that we're going to celebrate at Easter. And we all have different ways of doing that, but really diving into the scriptures is a wonderful way for the Lord to speak to us and draw us close. So the liturgical readings for this Sunday weave so many beautiful themes, beginning with a word on testing. And so we're going to do a little Bible study and reflection on testing. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 22.
This is an amazing reading, and I hope our listeners are awake to it because there's so many riches involved in it, and I'm looking forward for you to read it to us, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Here we go. It's so good. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and took a knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command."
That is so powerful. You know, during a time of Lent, we're saying no to the flesh, and we're trying to say yes to the Spirit. In Galatians, it tells us to walk by the Spirit and not to gratify the flesh, and the two are opposed to each other. But when we come against our flesh, there's like a rebellion, there's a struggle, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of temptations, self-accusation and self-doubt and all kinds of things surface. because the flesh isn't suppressing them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we complain about the testing we are going through. But here, Abraham is asked to do what God the Father would do. Mm-hmm. Would Abraham have the Father's heart? Abraham's destiny is to be the father of nations. And so God asked him to do what he would do with his son. And so if you want to think about a test, here it is. You know, and we have nothing in our lives to compare us so much with that. I guess there are things to compare to it, but, you know, Abraham's response was, here I am. And it's like all these years of learning to be sensitive to the voice of God. His response several times here was, here I am. Mm-hmm. Boy, I think sometimes we hear the whisper of God and we're evaluating it. And we're saying, do we like that? Or is that God? Or, but his immediate response was, here I am. Do with me what you want. I trust you. So we can read this scripture and we can fall in love with Abraham. Mm-hmm. You know, this wasn't his first testing. You know, there's many tests. I mean, 25 years previous, God told him to change his name from Abram, father of many, to father of nations, to Abraham. So he's walking around with his new name all these years.
Right.
Probably being ridiculed and waiting, trusting. And 25 years when he's 100 and Sarah's 99, God is faithful and he comes through. Such an amazing story of faith.
It just makes me wonder how many listening to this podcast are thinking about the waiting that you're doing to see God's promise answered in your life. Just, it's a good reminder that when we don't see the answer, that we can trust that the promise is God is going to, you know, he's going to make good on his promise.
Yes. Especially, you know, Abraham wasn't perfect. You know, he had the thing with the slave woman, Ishmael, and when he was traveling, he told the king that his wife was his sister, so she would take him. Right. He would take her, and that's very offensive to us. I guess in that day, I guess it wasn't. I don't know. It's very offensive. Well, he wasn't perfect, but when it comes to his life's destiny, his calling to be the father of faith and the father of nations, the ultimate test, he was, here I am, Lord. Mm. And I think sometimes we go through our failures and we focus so much on our failures. Mm-hmm. And we do need to look at them and repent and turn, but we have to resist the lies of the enemy, bringing condemnation and unfounded guilt and shame. But what we really want is we want to say, here I am, Lord, to our life's calling, you know, his purpose in our life. And it's not always clear for all of us. What is our life's calling? What is our purpose? I mean, if you're married, you know that's your life. If you have a celibate commitment, you know, you understand certain things, but sometimes there's more. There's a uniqueness to our destiny that's yet to be discovered that we have to wait. We have to wait until that moment that we say yes, and then we realize this is what he has for my life.
It's very profound.
Last week, I turned 75. And somebody asked me, well, what does it feel like? I said, well, I've been thinking that I was 75 for 6 months, so it wasn't a big deal. But there was something, and there was something of feeling like something was complete. And, you know, I led a community, I led outreaches, we didn't have so much money, we didn't have a plan to write books. It was just doing the next thing for God. And yet somehow God used me to write Unbound. And from this little place in Ardmore to affect people's lives around the world. Now, I know that was my destiny. That was his plan. And I'm so grateful for it. But, you know, sometimes people look at me and they think I'm famous or I'm this or that. And I'm just, I can't relate to that. It's like, I'm just who I am. I still sin. I'm still impatient. I'm still complaining and doing different things that tell me I'm not that holy.
Pretty holy, Neil.
But in your head, you know, relative to what you believe God's grace has for you, mm-hmm. you're always falling mm-hmm. short. And yep. you have to depend on knowing his love for you in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the struggle. But so to me, it's like the fact that God did this through me, it's extraordinary sense of his grace. And I know it's not me. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, there were a lot of yeses along the way, and all those yeses did something to form my heart and helped me to see things in a certain way and helped me to understand people's hearts. And so it was his work for many, many years that I had no clue and I can take no pride in.
Yes.
I was just getting by. And there it was. And now, even now, my thoughts are always like, I know there's over 250,000 copies of Unbound and hundreds of thousands of people have been affected by it. But I see the world is so big. Mm. It's like what we've done is just so small. And yet you also need to have that reflection that it is small and it will be small. The apostles at the end of their life would have thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, mm-hmm. yeah, we did all we could, but it's so small. And yet God just, because it was his work, the kingdom was advanced and it continued on and on and on. And now we're receptive of it. So I just, this is a little off the track of sharing, okay. but it's just like, I wonder what Abraham understood. He got his son, mm-hmm. but he had to die with that promise that he would be the father of nations. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Because he knew it was extraordinary, but he didn't necessarily see how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my takeaway from that sharing, Neil, is listen to his voice and say yes to the little things.
That's right.
But believe in the extraordinary promise.
Yes.
And stay humble along the way.
Yeah, do the next thing with thanksgiving and joy. Just do the next thing. And he has a great plan for everyone's life.
Amen. Glory. So Neil mentioned that during this season of testing, Abraham failed. And Neil talked about his own, you know, as walk and not being perfect. And it's really important to say yes. And there's a psalm in Sunday's reading, this liturgical readings, that I'm going to read from, which is a determination to walk before the Lord while listening to his voice. So I'm just going to read a little of Psalm 116, beginning with verse 9. I believed even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds.
Mm. So when I read that after reading the first reading, I thought, oh, how important it is to speak, to say, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Mm. So during our testing and during our difficulties, it's a determination that I will walk. You know, our engaging our will is so important to go through the testing. When Jesus was in the desert, you know, and he was being tempted, he was really hungry, he was thirsty, and he just declared the scriptures in the face of the lie. And it was just a willful declaration of his trust mm-hmm. in the word of God and trust in God, despite whatever he might have felt at that moment. So that determination is a grace that he offers all of us. And as we go to that second reading, we read, if God is for us, who can be against us? God wants to provide for us his grace in every situation. And when we are tempted and when we are facing some of the lies within or some of the lies that come to us from others, we need to know that God is with us, that he's for us, and that if he's for us, who can be against us? And it says, who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? He is our defender, and it says he intercedes for us. So in whatever you're going through, and whether it's circumstances of life, or whether it's just struggling because you're saying no to the flesh, whatever's coming to your mind to defeat you, to say that you're not walking as a son, or you're not walking as a daughter, or that you're disappointing God, you know that He's interceding for you. Mm. And no one really has a right to bring a charge against you. You're His chosen one. And you can dismiss the lies. When truth comes to you and it hurts, you can repent. And you can receive His love and His favor. You know, it was not that many years ago that I really began to meditate on favor. This is my Son on whom my favor rests. Well, if you are in Jesus Christ, you believe in Him, His favor is upon you. And whatever gets in the way of your knowing His favor, mm-hmm. you know, deal with it. Confess your sin. Renounce your unbelief. Renounce the lies that keep coming against you, and or those resentments that you carry. Deal with it and just get back to the place of knowing His favor rests upon you and you are His beloved.
It makes me think of what we do in Unbound Ministry. So many times when we've prayed for people who struggle with trusting in God and knowing His favor or believing that He wants to bless them. And sometimes it is rooted in their childhood. Maybe they didn't receive that from their own dad or mom, or someone spoke a word over them that prevents them from receiving. So sometimes it's just forgiving. It's pressing into forgiving the person who... Mm. There's tremendous testimonies from people all over the world who have forgiven and then are able to understand God's blessing and favor in a new way.
Yeah, so as you were saying that, I just think of how we all long for the Father's blessing mm-hmm. and how important it is. And it's like, yeah, I received the Father's blessing last year and I need it again today.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And the next time I go through a difficult time, I need to hear His blessing. I need to know His favor. And that actually ties us right into the last reading of the day, where Jesus is on His way to His final test, the testing in the garden where he swept drops of blood, and the testing before going to the cross, and the testing of the crucifixion and giving His life over to death. So He's on His way, and He takes His closest companions up the mountain, and He's transfigured. Mm-hmm. Moses and Elijah are there, and He's just lifted up in His brilliance, and His clothes became dazzling white, it says. What a moment, what a moment. You know, everything Jesus did and God did through Jesus, it's for us. And it was for Peter, James, and John. Mm-hmm. But hey, you can't say this wasn't for Jesus.
That's right.
You know? Is like, here you have labored, and now what you've known, you are the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And then the voice repeats in the cloud, mm-hmm. words that He heard before, the words that He heard at the beginning of His ministry in the Jordan River. This is my beloved Son. And in this quote, it says, listen to Him. Mm-hmm. This is my beloved Son. So can we just fall in love with the Father as He loved His Son, and then just allow ourselves to enter into Jesus and receive the blessing of the Father? And sometimes we need help. We need help to get rid of some of the obstacles within, but we can pursue His love, and we can pursue the truth that we are in Jesus Christ, and we share in the blessing of His sonship mm-hmm. and the Father's favor.
Wow, that felt like, Neil, you took us right into prayer.
Yeah, at the beginning of Lent, oftentimes I say, you know, I wonder, what am I going to do for Lent? Or I say, Lord, what do you want me to do for Lent? And this year I felt like this. The Lord said, how do you want to express your love to me?
Oh, wow.
What do you want to give me? And I was like, oh, it's my responsibility.
Wow.
Yeah. And to frame it in a way of an expression of love, to him. And I think that more we grow closer to the fact that he is near to us in our trials and our troubles, and even when we're trying to make a sacrifice, we're trying to give expressions of love to him, he's near to us. And when we fail, when we fall down, there's an opportunity just to come back to him and say, Lord, you know my heart. You know I love you. My flesh is really strong, and I need your Holy Spirit, because I want to express my love to you in a greater way tomorrow. I thank you that my love for you and who I am is something that you find so precious and valuable. I become like the pearl of great price. You know, the merchant searches for the pearl. And I know that scripture has to do more with the kingdom, but we can think about how the Lord is searching for you. And when he finds you, he looks at you as the pearl of great price, one that this merchant is willing to sell everything for. So maybe that's something you can take into your week. The Father came to Jesus in this precious, comforting way before his trial, before his destiny was fulfilled. And the Father comes to you in little ways, repeatedly, to remind you that you are his beloved one, and that to him you are the pearl of great price, worth everything, worth the death of his son, so that he could have you become everything that he created you to be.
So, Neil, that was just so deep, and I feel like you already led us into prayer, but let's do this officially.
Father, you are so near. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. You are the King of the universe, and yet you're involved with our receiving daily bread. The King of the universe counts the hairs on our head. He knows our coming and our going. And he knows the struggles. And this eternal King has been revealed to us as Father. And Jesus taught us to say, Our Father. And he demonstrated for us a way to say, My Father. We do want to enter into more of the life of your Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we call upon you and say, Our Father, we really are aware of your goodness and your care, and that we really are your children. And no matter how we mess up, we'll always be your children through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Phew. I think this is going to be one of those that people listen to over and over again.
Well, it's certainly not what I planned, but it was good.
So let me just close up with a quick announcements. We have a couple things real quick. We're going to be pressing into Lent, and join us weekly for the rest of our Lenten series. And right after that, we're going to do a book study on Matt's book, Free to Be Holy, which is spreading like wildfire. People that are loving that book, if you haven't read it yet, this is a great time. And if you have, we're going to go deeper with some reflections each week. So pick up your copy, and there's a coupon, free to be. So the word free followed by the number 2 followed by the capital letter B. You get 20% off of Matt's book on our website, heartofthefather.com. And while you're there, check out our events page. We have the St. Charles, Illinois one-day conference with Matt and Ann Stevens at the beginning of March, March 2nd, out there in Illinois. If you know somebody in the area, go ahead and invite them. And thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.
Mm-hmm.